Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer, praying for the illumination of the Holy Spirit as we come to the word of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come again to your word, to hear the preaching of it. We pray that you would teach us by your word. Open up our understanding, open up our hearts. Incline our wills to do your commandments. We know that your commandments are good. We know that your commandments are holy. We know that your commandments are just. And we know that everything you command is not to take anything good away, but to give us what is best. And as we come to this commandment, this principle of wisdom in sacred scripture, that we would be wise in the way we interact with other people, because we are in the wise one, Jesus Christ. And so we pray for your help and your grace. May your people be attentive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Again, the text says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Have you been around people before in your life where you feel like you're walking on eggshells, that you feel like you cannot truly be yourself in the best sense of that term, not in the sinful sense, but you can't truly be yourself because they are always finding fault. They are always being nitpicky. They're always seeking not to cover, but to expose, not in a helpful way, but in a demeaning way. People that you feel as if you have to walk on eggshells. Those are some of the hardest people to be with because we never know how they're going to respond or act, or are they going to be harsh or mean? Are they going to be cruel, or how are they going to respond? But have you ever also been around people that are merciful and gracious and are kind and gentle and warm? And those are the people that ordinarily we love to be with. And this text contrasts the first group and the second group. Contrasts those who are easy to be around because they're warm, kind, loving demeanor and attitude versus those who are hard to be around because you feel like you're walking on eggshells. And so we'll see in this verse, the main point is really just what the text says for the most part. My main point is he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So my first point, he who covers a transgression seeks love. And my second point, he who repeats a matter separates friends. So again, my first point, he who covers a transgression seeks love. So we see that in the beginning of the verse. He who covers a transgression seeks love. So a person, a man, a woman, a boy or girl that covers a transgression seeks love. Let me first say what this doesn't mean. There are certain things that we ought not to cover, and that would be wrong to cover, especially crimes that are not only violations of the law of God, but the state's. So there are certain things that it would be improper to cover, like abuse or these type of things. But what it's talking about is those everyday things that could be annoyances, that would genuinely be transgressions, would genuinely be breaking God's law, but it would be proper for us to cover, to look over. There are things that it would be wrong to cover because they harm others in the long term. But what's being talked about here is those transgressions of the law of God that we should have a desire to look over, to look past, to cover with our love. And so covering transgression, which is the language of the text, he who covers a transgression, is someone who instead of seeking to pay back and get personal revenge, is a person that is willing to let offenses go. They are a person that they have a warm and gracious disposition, that they are willing to absorb the punishment of their sin, so to speak, and not pay them back. They are a person that instead of repaying evil for evil, seeks to overcome evil with good and look past their offense against them. They are ones who are quickly willing to cover over transgression, are quickly willing to look past, and willing to put it under their feet, so to speak, because they are seeking love. And what a loving, gracious, and even God-like thing it is to look over an offense done against us. Because we know throughout the Word of God, our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, because of the sacrifice of Christ, covers over our transgressions. He wipes away our iniquities. He puts them under His feet, so to speak, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways we can imitate God is by His grace, seeking to cover over transgressions done to us. What can easily happen is someone does something against you, and you are unwilling to get over it. And so, and therefore, instead of covering it, instead of looking past it, it harbors more and more bitterness in your soul. Instead of, if you need to confront it, there are times where you can't cover it and you need to confront it. But if you're holding it onto it, unwilling to cover it, what you're doing is just making it worse for yourself and causing the situation to actually harm your own soul. Because instead of covering it with love, you are harboring it and finding bitterness over it. But what I want to focus on for a few minutes is the reality of how our Heavenly Father, for those who are in Christ and trusting in Christ, how does He deal with our sin? How does He deal with our sin as His people? And let me start by taking you to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We see that when we repent before God as His people, He first, we'll see, He forgives our transgression. Psalm 32 and verse 1. We see that God forgives our transgression. In verse 1 of chapter 32, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." And so the moment that we believe upon Jesus Christ, God forgives all of our iniquity. He wipes it all away. He forgives it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. But then the verse goes on in parallelism. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Whose sin is covered. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God, our Father, covers over our transgression. He covers over our iniquity. He forgives it. And so He cleanses our sin. And then if you look at the same chapter in verse 2, we see that God does not impute our sin against us. Psalm 32 and verse 2, it says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit." And so instead of imputing our iniquity against us and having us pay for it, He imputes our iniquity, our sin, upon Jesus Christ. And so we see that God, in Christ, forgives our transgression. He covers our sins. He doesn't impute our sin against us. He also removes our sin. If you turn with me to Psalm 103, we see that He removes our sin. Psalm 103, verse 12. Our loving Father removes our sin from us. Psalm 103 and verse 12. I'm going to start by reading verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. It says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. For all of His people, those who fear Him, that's how God deals with our sin. He forgives them, He covers them, He doesn't impute them against us, and He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Or John 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He also washes away our guilt. If you look at Psalm 51 and verse 2, He washes away our guilt. Psalm 51 and verse 2. He washes away our guilt and cleanses us. Psalm 51 and verse 2. It says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Or 1 John 1 verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We also see that God throws our sins behind his back, so to speak. If you turn with me to Isaiah 38, Isaiah chapter 38, our God throws our sins behind his back. 38 and verse 17. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. The word of God says here, indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. That's what God does. He forgives them. He covers them. He doesn't impute them to us. He removes them as far as east is from the west. He washes our guilt and cleanses us from our unrighteousness and even throws our sin behind his back, metaphorically speaking. If you look at Isaiah 43 and verse 25, we see he sweeps away our transgressions. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. He sweeps away our transgressions. He remembers them no more. He blots them out. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The one who knows all things, the end from the beginning, there's nothing hidden from God. God says, I will not remember your sins. What does he mean by that? He obviously knows they happen. He can't not remember things because he can't stop being God, so he cannot stop being omniscient. What does it mean, I will not remember your sins? What he means is he chooses to never put them back in our face. He chooses to never bring them up and bring them at us as an accusation. If he's cleansed them, if he's washed them, he never brings them up because he's chosen to forget them. He remembers them very well. He's omniscient, but he chooses to never bring them up against us, to condemn us, or to bring the guilt upon us. This is what our loving Father does. He also, my next one, but we see that point here. He chooses to remember our sins no more, which is, my verse was going to be Jeremiah 31:34, but we see that concept here. He will not remember our sins against us. That is a wonderful truth, that the God who knows everything about us, all our sins, all our stumbles, all our shortcomings, he chooses not to remember those things against us. We also see in the book of Micah that he casts our sins in the depths of the sea. If you throw me to Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah 7 in verse 18 and 19. We see that he casts our sins in the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He is not retaining his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. That's what God does with our iniquity. He remembers it no more. He casts it in the depths of the sea. He throws it behind his back. And if you turn now with me to Colossians chapter 2, we see the reason why he can blot out our transgressions and do all these things for us. The reason why God can do this and still be just is because upon Christ, he nailed our transgressions to the cross. He can do these things because he nailed our transgressions to the cross. I'm going to start my reading in Colossians 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2:13. It says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he had taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Why can God throw our sins behind his back, remember them no more, sweep them away, cast them in the depths of the sea? Because upon Christ, they were nailed upon his cross. He nailed them upon his cross. And therefore, beloved, in light of all these things, if our holy, holy, holy God, that the angels have to, with two they cover their eyes, and with two they cover their feet, and with two they fly, and they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. If that God, who is a pure eye to behold iniquity, is the one that even his angels are not pure in his sight, the one who is magnificent in glory and splendor and awesomeness, and is a consuming fire, if he, for Christ's sake, and on our behalf, could wipe away our iniquity and cast it behind his back and remember it no more and cover over it with his grace and mercy, who are we to hold transgressions against another? If our loving God could do that for us, how foolish is it for us to hold transgressions against others? To hold sin against others, especially when they come with a repentant heart. Biblically speaking, I think that we should always have a spirit of forgiveness to all men. All men that sin against us, all people that sin against us, we should have a spirit. We can only truly exercise forgiveness when they repent. It should be our spirit always to have that desire, no bitterness, no resentment. But especially for those who ask and are come with a repentant heart, it should be our desire, just like our Heavenly Father, to forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. That's the prayer that we should be praying. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so if our Father could do that for us, who are we to not look past and cleanse and be merciful towards those who sin against us? We see that this is God's will for us. God's will for us is to cover over transgression, to wipe it out. You know, we'll see this more in the second point, but one of the worst ways to ruin relationships is by people who are unwilling to cover transgression. You want to ruin a marriage? You want to ruin a friendship? You want to ruin a sibling relationship? You want to ruin any relationship that this world has? The way to do it is by being unwilling to cover transgression. Being unwilling to overlook the faults of other people. This doesn't mean that their sin doesn't matter. Because sometimes people think, if I'm going to overlook, I'm making it like it doesn't matter. God thinks our sin very much matters, but he's willing to remember it no more. Not because it doesn't matter, but God was willing to say, I will take, in Christ, the punishment for the sin. And when you overlook in transgression, what you're saying in a sense is, I'm going to take the punishment. In the sense that, not in the ultimate sense, of course, but in the sense that you're going to bear the brunt of their sin against you and not hold it against them. That's what you do when you cover over their transgression. I'll bear the brunt. They sinned against me, and rightfully so. It wasn't something that wasn't your preference. This is not about overlooking preferences. That we should obviously look over. This is about overlooking transgressions and covering sins, things that are actually violations of God's law, a harsh word, a harsh tone, cutting words, the silent treatment, the bitter spirit that comes out in raging words. Those type of things, God wants us, sometimes we need to confront, but many times to overlook, to cover with our love. We know that that love covers a multitude of sins. And what is the reason why we would desire to cover transgression? He who covers transgression seeks love. It's a motivation of love. Love to God and love to that person. Because isn't not the golden rule, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you? And none of us here probably, if we have faults against others, what do we want them to do to us? Cover over them with their love? Or if necessary, lovingly and graciously confront us so that we can know and repent with mercy and kindness mixed in? But what do we want? We want people to cover our transgressions with their love. And the one who does this to another is doing unto others what they would want done to them. So we are to cover transgression out of love, out of genuine love to God, who we are imitating. Because, beloved, we cannot justify someone. But we can, in the sense that we cannot declare someone righteous who is guilty in themselves because we don't have that power. But we can exercise God-like forgiveness to others. We can do that. We can't glorify someone, but we can show God-like forgiveness as we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus was so serious about this, of forgiving people when they ask, especially when they come repentant, that he gave a parable. He talked about two men. They both owed a debt, but he starts with the one man. And this man comes, and he asked for more time, that he would pay off the debt. And the man, showing compassion to him, forgives him of his debts. He wipes it clean. And that man goes out and finds someone that owes him money. And you would think what would happen, the rational thing is, I was just forgiven this great debt. Of course I'm going to forgive this little debt. But he goes out and sees this man, and he does not show compassion to him. He was just showing compassion, but he doesn't show it. And Jesus' point is, the point of the parable is, so is everyone who does not forgive their brother from the heart. My Father will not forgive your transgressions if you do not from the heart forgive those who have sinned against you. Sobering words. Jesus says, how can it be that you were just forgiven this great debt and you can't forgive this? Let's just throw it out there. You've been forgiven $1 million. You can't forgive 10,000. You've just been forgiven this wonderful debt and you can't take away this little debt. And beloved, you know why we have trouble forgiving if we do have trouble? It's because we forgot how much we've been forgiven. If we have trouble forgiving others, you know what the problem is? It's because at that moment we are thinking horizontally and not vertically. We're thinking only about this relationship and not thinking about how much I've been forgiven of God. Because he who has been forgiven much, what? Loves much. And when we forget how much we've been forgiven, we forget how much we should love others by being willing to cover over transgression with our love. We should be those who seek love and therefore seek to cover transgression. If you look, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we see this emphasis starting in verse 31. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. It says there, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So we see in verse 31 what we're to put aside. Why do people not cover love? Because they're filled with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. You want to know why people hold on to sins or hold on to things and don't cover them? Because they're marked by those transgressions. And God says through his apostle, put those things away. Set them aside. Get rid of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Get away from evil speaking. Get away from any malice. Put it away from you. Set it aside. But what are we to do instead? That's to put off. That's where to put away. We're to put off those things. But he says instead, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. So he says, put off these things, but what are you to put on? You can't just put off, you have to put on. And the things you're to put on are a kindness towards others. You're to put on a tender heartedness, seeking not to be cruel or heartless, but tender hearted. And you are to forgive other people. How? Even as God in Christ forgave you. It goes back to, why do we forgive? Because God in Christ forgave us. We see that's one of the key reasons I started, because our forgiveness of others is rooted in realizing how much we've been forgiven by God. That we should forgive even as God in Christ forgave us. And therefore, we should overlook and cover and wipe away and throw behind our back and remember no more the transgressions done against us. Again, this doesn't mean you forget, because sometimes we have phrases like forgive and forget. But we're not meant to forget. Actually, if people start forgetting things that they shouldn't, something's wrong. We're meant to remember. God's given us brains that we can remember what happened. Just like God, he remembers, but he remembers it no more. What does that mean? You remember what someone did against you, and you choose to cover it with your love. So it's not forgetting in the sense of you forget it happens, or happened in the past, but what you're choosing to do is not seek revenge over that person, not seek to pay back that person. You seek to cover it over with your love, and in that sense, you remember it no more. You seek to remember it no more. And so that's what we must do. We must cover transgressions with love. And what a blessing it is to be around those who are quick to cover transgressions as an act of love. But now my second point, he who repeats a matter separates friends. He who repeats a matter separates friends. Again, we see in the text, Proverbs 17, verse 9, second half, but he who repeats a matter separates friends, which is the contrast of covering transgression. Covering transgression, you overlook it. You put it behind you. You take the weight of it upon yourself, and you don't put it to repay another person. But instead of doing that, which is a God-like matter, because God is the one who forgives our iniquities, this person repeats a matter, which means they bring it back in the person's face. They are unwilling to cover it. They are unwilling to let it go. They are unwilling to set it aside. And therefore, they repeat a matter. This is not arguing that there's never a time where if we need to, if we just feel we can't overlook something for whatever reason, to lovingly and graciously bring it to someone. But if we bring it to someone and they say, I'm so sorry I did that. That was sin. Will you please forgive me? And we say, yes, I forgive you. And then 3 weeks later, we bring it back in their face. What we're doing is we're repeating a matter, and therefore very likely will separate friends. And so the one who repeats a matter seeks to separate friends. It's bringing things back up and putting them in a person's face, and it causes it to be even more distance and more hurt. Because instead of letting things go, instead of looking past, instead of making things right, we bring things back up. We repeat a matter. And if you want to ruin, as I said before, a marriage or a friendship, if you want to ruin a relationship, one of the best ways to do it is by repeating a matter. Because it separates friends, it distances people. Because instead of covering that transgression with your love, you're instead acting in hatred and in animosity to that person because you're unwilling to forgive and put it behind your back. You're unwilling to make things right. You're unwilling to get things right. And this can happen in marriages where a husband has done something wrong 2 weeks ago, they got things right, they have another scuffle, and what comes up? What they thought they got right 2 weeks ago. Instead of covering with your love, it's brought back up. Or a husband, a wife does something, she's not considerate, or she commits a transgression against him, and they had something 2 weeks ago, and they're having another scuffle, and what's brought back up by the husband? What they thought was right 2 weeks ago. It's repeating a matter, and it's separating friends. One of the worst things to say in a scuffle is things that were thought to be put under the rug, that you thought were dead and gone, so to speak. You thought were removed as far as east is from the west. And what did they do with cutting words? You did this to me. You did that. You did that. You did this 6 months ago. You did this 8 months ago. You did this 2 weeks ago. And instead of letting things go, you just harbor the bitterness. And so, beloved, when you tell someone that you forgive them, if someone comes to you and says, will you please forgive me? I sin. And you say, yes, I forgive you. You are making a promise to them to remember it no more. Otherwise, your forgiveness is not like our Heavenly Father. Forgiveness, according to God, as He does it, is He remembers our sin no more. And it would be better to say to the person, you don't want to stay this way, because that's a very dangerous place to stay, but it would be better to say to the person, I need time to pray over this because this is hard for me, than for you to say that you forgive them when you actually didn't. It would be better to say, will you give me a day to pray over this because it is really hurtful for me and I want to forgive you because I know I've been forgiven so much, but I'm having trouble. Than it would be for you to say, yes, I forgive you, while all the while knowing that you'll bring it up in their face later on when you have the opportunity. Because forgiveness is an agreement that you are going to remember their sin no more. Again, that doesn't mean that you lost thinking about it in your brain. God didn't forget our sins in that sense. It means that you choose not to bring it up against them. You cast it as far as east is from the west. And so we should do this. What a blessing it is, again, that this is what our Heavenly Father does for us. When we were converted, you know what God did? He covered our transgressions. He wiped them out. He blotted them out of His book. He remembers them no more. And when we sin as Christians, now in our fatherly relationship to God, our forgiveness when we were converted was God the judge. Now it's God as our Heavenly Father, that relationship. You know what He does when we ask for His forgiveness? He covers our transgressions. He wipes over it. He puts it behind his back. He remembers it no more. To God, and it would almost be too good to be true if the Bible didn't say this. When we ask God to forgive our sins as Christians, God deals with us as if it never happened. Because he remembers it no more. That's why I say it's almost too good to be true. The Bible didn't say it. He remembers it no more. He never brings it up against us. He never pushes it in our face. If we ask for his forgiveness, he says, I'll cleanse that iniquity. I'll wash it. I'll purge it. And I will never bring it up against you. What our mind can easily think is, there's no way God's forgiveness can be that good. There's no way that he would, I mean, he'll forgive, but I mean, he's still gonna remember it, and it can't be that good that he remembers it no more and acts as if I never did it. He throws it behind his back. I mean, when you throw something in the depths of the sea, you throw it away and it's gone. If you have something valuable and you throw it in the sea for whatever reason, it's gone. Unless you have super good technology that you can get down there, but that's a lot. That's not the point of the Bible. He's not saying that I'll get it, but I'll have technology to get it out. No, it's saying it's gone. It's behind his back. It's forever canceled. It's done and gone. And when we repeat a matter, we are imitating Satan, not God. You understand that, right? When we repeat a matter, you're being Satan-like, not God-like. Because what is Satan called? The accuser of the brethren. What does Satan love to do? Repeat a matter. What does God love to do? Cover transgression. So if you want to be like Satan, repeat a matter. To put it bluntly. If you want to be like Satan, repeat a matter. Because what does Satan do? Yes, I know God said he forgave you, but really he didn't. Let me make sure you know so you really feel bad about this. I know you asked for forgiveness, but let me press the wound so that you really feel. Because Satan wants to be the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. Satan's tactic is like this. He's sly. He's deceitful. He comes to us and says, you know sin isn't that big of a deal, right? God's going to forgive you. It's no big deal at all. What is a little bite? What is a little taste of sin? I mean, you're not like the world. Like, you're not doing the blatant things. Like, way out there. What's a little bit of sin? And then you give in to his sinful devices and you eat that fruit. And then he says things like, how could you ever be a Christian? How could you actually be a Christian to this? You know God isn't going to let you off the hook for this. That's what he does. He makes sin seem light, and then you do it, he makes it seem like it's the end of the world. God will never want you back now. So what does Satan do? He is the repeater of the matter. He is the one who wants to separate the saint from his God. He doesn't want you to go back to God. He says, God doesn't want you right now. God doesn't want to hear your prayer right now. God doesn't want your repentance right now. God wants you to fix yourself up and then maybe come back. That's what Satan wants you to believe. And so if you want to be God-like, cover a transgression. If you want to be Satan-like, repeat a matter. Repeat a matter to separate friends. And so it's God's will for us that we would be quick to cover over transgressions. Again, like I said, there are certain things that cannot be covered. There are certain things that cannot be covered. As an example, just so you know what I'm talking about, if there's child abuse in the church, you don't cover over that. You take it to its rightful authority because it's a crime. These are talking about things that are, I don't want to say minor in the sense that they don't matter, but you know what I mean in the grand scheme of things. They're not blatant crimes like that. They're things that we should be quick to overlook, quick to cover with our love. But even those type of people, if they would ask for forgiveness and repentance, it doesn't mean we have the same trust to them and give them the same responsibility, but we can still forgive them if they come in repentance, because God would forgive them if they repented, right? Even the most heinous sins of those type of things, even if they should deserve the death penalty, they could be forgiven by God. They could be forgiven by God. And so it should be our desire to cover over transgressions and not repeat a matter. Do you want your marriage to thrive and your friendships to thrive and your relationships with others to thrive and your relationships with church members to thrive? Cover over transgression as you seek love. Don't have a bitter, wrathful, angry, clamorous, evil-speaking, malicious spirit, but have a kind, tender-hearted, forgiving spirit, just as God in Christ forgave you. You want your relationships to flourish with others? Be more like God in the way that you treat other people. Be more like God. Be more like his loving, gracious character. So if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here without the salvation in Christ, right now, because you have not come to God in repentance and faith, your sins are not covered. Your sins are not blotted out. But if you come to God through Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, and future, as God the judge, will be wiped away. They will be clean, and you will be white as snow. You will be cleansed from your iniquity and washed. And so may you come in repentance and faith and know the blessing of having sins covered by a loving God. That you would know the blessedness of that. God, just like we should have, always has his arms out to sinners, that they would be saved, that he would forgive them. His arms are always extended, just like us to other people. We should always have arms extended, wanting to forgive them. But God only forgives those who repent and believe Christ. And our desire is we can only truly forgive people who repent towards us. Our desire should always be to forgive. We want to forgive anyone, but we can only truly forgive, like God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, to those who repent towards us. Always a spirit of forgiveness, just like God. Always with our arms open. But only for those who repent can we actually truly forgive and reconcile as much as possible. And so for the saints, if you want to have good relationships with others, if you want to grow in your knowledge of God's forgiveness of you, grow in your knowledge and love that Christ, or God for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, grow in your appreciation that all your sins are covered, all your sins are blotted out, and may that motivate you as you reflect on what God has done for you in Christ, that you would cover other people's transgressions. As you remember that those who have been forgiven much love much, as you remember that those who are quick to anger are actually saying that I know better than God. Because we saw last Sabbath day, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Why are we able to cover transgressions with our love? Because we know God will repay, either the cross or the lake of fire. And therefore, we can be quick to show mercy to others, whether a heart of spirit of forgiveness or actual forgiveness. But if you want to have bad relationships, if you want your relationships to suffer, if you want to have relationships that are one of mourning and sorrow, you should seek to repeat a matter and separate friends. If you want to have your relationships to be harmed and miserable, be like Satan and be the accuser of the brethren. If you want your relationships to be one of misery and pain, seek to pour out your wrath upon others. But if you want your relationships to be blessed, forgive and remember the sin no more. Remember the sin no more. And for God's people, again, what a blessing it is to know that in Christ, God has forgiven our sin. He's covered it. He's thrown it behind his back, and he will never bring it up against us. God, to our sin, because he remembers it no more, acts and treats us when we confess and repent of our sin as if we never committed it. Because he throws it behind his back, he casts it in the depths of the sea, he removes it as far as the east is from the west. What a merciful, gracious, and loving God that we have. And therefore, we should imitate him as his children. We should imitate our God in our willingness to forgive and look over transgressions. May we reflect on Christ, who died and rose again, in the very one who upon the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That one, we should remember him, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Why? Because he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so we must look to Christ as our Savior and our example, the one who cleanses us and shows us the example of overlooking transgression. May God help us be those who are covering transgression and seeking love and not repeating a matter and separating friends. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray you would help us. Help us be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.